We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Well, today we finally get an introduction. I know some of you have heard from Jesse Minter, but you haven't heard from him here. I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but I did for today's podcast. So Jesse Minter, new defensive coordinator here at the University of Michigan, sits down with me in just a few minutes right here on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
Everybody gets reps. Guys, you know, get a lot of reps in practice. They get a lot of opportunity to prove their value and their worth. And so it's growing that list of guys that we can count on. It's also just continuing to grow an understanding of the defense, because I think anytime you go from year one to year two, the level of understanding can be way higher.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends. This week on MGO Blue Podcast, Thursday morning, we've got Conquering Heroes with four-time All-American, trying to be five-time All-American, a rarity in college athletics. That's wrestling star Miles Amin. Thursday night, defend the block. It's going to be late, but Colorado State recap, and it's going to be the first round of the NCAA tournament. Michigan taking on Colorado State. Saturday night, defend the block. It will either be Tennessee or Longwood, and that will be determined as to who Michigan will play in the second round of the NCAA tournament. But right now, what we're talking about is Michigan football. Spring practice is back in session, and I'm joined by my partner, Brian Bush. Mr. Bush, how you doing?
Good. Ready to roll for another trip to Indy. Hopefully it's not like the last one, but I think this team feels like they've got a second lease on life, which I know I was pretty nervous on Selection Sunday. I was fully expecting to do this with you from Dayton, I don't know, on the team charter or something, flying to San Diego or something after a win in Dayton. But yeah, ready to roll, and the women inside Chrysler Center for the first two rounds of the NCAA Women's Tournament. As cool as it is for us to go to Indy, I wish this is how it would work on the men's side too. I think playing NCAA tournament games in home venues, you reward the higher seeds. I think it'd be great for this team to have to go down to Knoxville for the men's side, and it's great that three teams got to come here to Ann Arbor.
It's outstanding. I mean, you think about what Kim Barnes-Orrico has done on the women's side of the basketball program, a number three seed, hosting two games at Chrysler. That place is going to be it's going to be rocking and rolling. So it's exciting to see what's going on there. For a quick preview, if you will, what is it that Michigan needs to do on the men's side of things against Colorado State? What are some of the concerns and some of the matchups that we should be looking at?
They have two players who are two of the best players in the country. David Roddy, a site that I use a lot that gets referenced a lot, KenPom. Ken Pomeroy created a deep dive statistical type site. And I use it all the time for my prep. And David Roddy is his ninth ranked player in the country. He is one of two quote-unquote mid-major players who's on that list, and I don't consider Gonzaga on that, even though they're in the West Coast Conference, but David Roddy's one of them. Dude's a stud, shoots 57% from the floor. He's going to be a handful. And Isaiah Stevens is their point guard. He basically plays the entire game. He averages 5 assists a game for his career, shoots well from the floor, almost 50%. So those two are going to be the stars. This has been a Colorado State program. This is their greatest season ever. It's their highest seed in the modern era of the NCAA tournament. They've gotten to a 6th seed. This is it. For Michigan, obviously, it's a huge step back from last season, but you're still in the dance. And I think it's unique that the team that ended Michigan's run last year was an 11 seed, which just goes to show you the seeds mean absolutely nothing once you get to this point. You've got an all-timer of a season in Colorado State history. You've got a Michigan season that was underwhelming compared to what we all expected, yet Michigan's a slight favorite in the game, so we'll see what happens.
It'll be fun. What it is they're in, and now you just roll the dice and see what happens. I'll tell you what, let's get to some 7 from 77, because I know you've got you got a plane to catch.
Oh, we're driving, John. Indianapolis, baby.
That's right. I forgot it's in Indianapolis. That's right. Yeah, we're very familiar with that drive.
Yes, yes, indeed. So you talk about all the excitement around campus. Obviously, spring ball in full swing. Spring game coming up here soon. So give us the latest. What have you seen? What have you heard?
It's been, I mean, as you would imagine, a lot of spots open, especially on defense. And we're going to talk to Jesse Minter in just a few minutes. But there's a lot of opportunity for guys at every level, whether it's up front of the D-line, linebacker position, in the safeties, defensive backfield. There's a lot of opportunity. A lot of guys are stepping up. And offensively, we know the competition at the quarterback spot. It's kind of been put on hold with the news that J.J. McCarthy isn't going to be throwing the ball anytime soon. He's nursing that shoulder injury. But happy to know that as of now, no surgery is required, just some rest, some therapy, and he'll be back at it. But the offensive line, as you can imagine, got my eye on that. It's starting to come together. And in the backfield, a lot of excitement with Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, Tavi Dunlap. There's a lot of talent. Now it's up to the coaches to, you know, they're 6 practices in to mold and shape this team, but they've got a lot to work with.
So number two, you alluded to the quarterback situation. Cade McNamara spoke to the media last week, and, you know, there aren't a lot of circumstances where a quarterback leads a team to a Big Ten title, returns to that team, and the conversation right after the season is around, well, who's going to be the starting quarterback? So just your thoughts, especially considering now, you know, the J.J. McCarthy situation, on how he's handled all of this and this quarterback conversation right now. You can't really call it a battle because of the McCarthy injury.
Well, and I think Cade is handling this in an outstanding manner. He's only stating fact. And when he came out and said, hey, I am returning, you know, quarterback of a Big Ten championship team. He's not saying I'm the next quarterback or I'm going to be the starting quarterback this year. All he's doing is basically giving his resume, and he's got every single right to do that. And what he needs to be doing right now, since he is practicing, is taking a look at some of the things that he needs to improve on, the deep ball. And I see him working on that every single day, you know, and continuing to master the offense, the new wrinkles that are going in, some of the new weapons, some of the young receivers, bringing them along. Because that quarterback position, as Brian, you know, I've talked about, it's not just about delivering the ball or handing the ball off. It's about making sure that those around you are getting better, because you never know. It could be the fourth quarter of Penn State and you need Eric All. It could be, you know, anybody else that needs to step up at a key moment. And that's where the quarterback has to find out, who can I count on, who needs to get better, including myself. And right now, Cade's doing all of those things.
Number three on our 7 from 77. In recent days, we also heard from Mike Sanristil. Of course, we've seen him flash some big-time potential at wide receiver. He's now working some in the secondary. How has that gone? I'm curious what your outlook for that young man is in 2022, because, I mean, you were a part of a position change in your career. That's pretty common early on in careers in college football with athletic players who can move around a little bit. But, I mean, Sanders still had established himself as a real viable threat in the Michigan passing game. This is a little bit of a later switch than you would normally see.
Well, it is, but it also doesn't mean that we won't still see him line up on the offensive side of things. But when you have a deep position group, Ronnie Bell's coming back, you got some freshmen that are making their way in there. We saw, in terms of what Roman Wilson can do, we've seen Andrel Anthony, what he can do. So it's a deep position, and quite honestly, every single player is just going to their coach right now and say, what if I'm staying at my position, what do I have to do to get on the field? What do I have to do to contribute more? What do I have to do to be a guy that you can rely on? And Mike Sanristil has done that, but it's also been, hey, if I can get on the field more and have an impact on the game by, you know, being on the defensive side of things, I can take what I've learned on the offensive side of things and help us on defense. I can use those reads, those things that I know receivers are looking at to help on defense. It's been a great transition. There's no better kid in the Michigan football program than Mike Sanristil. And I don't want to steal his thunder, but Jesse Minter touches on that position change and how enjoyable it's been to watch Mikey Sanristil make that change.
Number four on our 7 from 77. Switching gears a little bit here, Michigan's Pro Day comes up this Friday. A good appetizer between the two NCAA tournament games for Michigan men's basketball. We'll talk it into existence, but give us the overview of what that looks like from a draft-eligible prospects standpoint.
Well, it's an opportunity to go out there and showcase. If you didn't have a chance to go to the combine, like some of the top prospects did, you get a chance to go out there and, if you did go to the combine, improve on some of those times. Confirm what the scout saw. Maybe improve on some of those times. If you weren't invited to the combine, this is your opportunity to showcase and sell yourself to NFL scouts, head coaches, position coaches, GMs. There's going to be interviews. There's going to be a chance to talk to those coaches and scouts. There's going to be a chance to, you know, obviously get measured. All of those things are going to happen at Michigan's Pro Day. And, you know, it's just another opportunity that if you go to a major program that you have, Michigan has done this year in, year out, and they continually, not just the guys that go to the combine, but they put guys in the draft that, you know, coaches come to the Pro Day, they see them run, they watch the film, they get a chance to meet them, and all of a sudden they go from undrafted free agent to, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round draft picks.
Yeah, let's talk about that with number five. Obviously, we know that Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo, Dax Hill, I mean, there are guys who are going to be drafted very early here in a few weeks. We expect the Wolverines to be well represented throughout the draft, though, and we've seen in years past guys like Michael Onwenu, Donovan Peoples-Jones in recent years, who went from late-round projections or undrafted free agent projections into viable NFL players or more. From this year's draft-eligible group, take out Aiden, David, Dax, those are gimmies. Who are some other guys that you're looking at to say, yeah, you know what, I think this player could really help an NFL team?
Well, I think you're looking at, you know, when we talk about some of those other guys, a Vince Gray, a Brad Hawkins, guys that, you know, they had really good careers and they were contributors. Vince Gray is a guy that there's some question marks on in terms of his ability to cover. He's going to get a chance to do that at a pro day. Chris Hinton is a guy. Yes, he went to the combine, but it's another opportunity for him to go out there and showcase what he can do. Why is he coming out as an underclassman? You know, and answer some of those questions. There's just, you know, Josh Ross is a guy that can go out there and really do himself a lot of favors in, one, making sure that the scouts and the medical personnel that are there, the coaches that are there, are comfortable with he missed some time because of an injury 2 years ago. He you know, went out in a game. We saw him come back with that awesome neck roll, you know, this past season. It's an opportunity for them to answer questions on, hey, am I healthy? Am I okay to play dinged up? And that's something that if you're going to be a guy that's taken in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, they need to know that you're going to be available. They need to know that you cannot just play the linebacker position, but you can play a number of different positions in special teams. So that's going to be a lot of what goes on at the pro day for some of these guys.
And it always helps too. I mean, we've heard Andy Reid specifically say, oh, when you go to Michigan and you see a guy, you know that person's ready for the NFL. Bill Belichick has taken his fair share of Michigan Wolverines. That stuff helps too, doesn't it?
It does. And speaking of Bill Belichick and the Michigan guy, going to your Cleveland Browns would be one Chase Winovich, just to give our listeners an update on the travels of some Michigan former players.
Yes, I'm sure he's long dreamed as a native of Pennsylvania and as a Michigan Wolverine of playing in Ohio.
The revenge tour is back in Ohio! Don't think he won't hear some of that. Maybe see some unique and very inventive t-shirts.
I can assure you that if you play well there, they're not going to give a damn about that in the past. That's what they care about. What have you done for me lately? All right. Speaking of a former Wolverine, Tom Brady is back. Did you talk to him? Like, how did this go down? Did you give him a locker room speech? And are you going to be joining him going back to the NFL? Listen, retirements only are for so long anymore.
I know. Trust me, I am sitting here and you and I are talking on Zoom. I'm showing everybody on my that I'm just waiting for the phone to ring. All right, that is it. I am ready. I'm in the best shape I've been in since I left the NFL. Now, I may have to eat a couple more cheeseburgers to get back up to weight, but that is a challenge I'm willing to take on. Hey, Tom, this is the one thing I know about Tom, is you never stop being a competitor. And when you sit down and you make a decision like that, you're never going to be 100% on, should I still play? Should I retire? There's pros and cons on both sides. But what you can't take out of a guy is that competitive nature. He still has that drive. He mentioned it. I have unfinished business. He wants to go out there and find number eight. And when you look at what he did last year, he led the league in completions, in yards, in touchdowns. So it's not like he is, you know, just limping to the finish line. He is still sprinting. He's still leading the NFL. And when he comes back, you could make an argument that Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career in the NFC is ranked higher than him. But at 44, to be the number two ranked quarterback and probably still the most respected quarterback in the NFL, it's amazing. And I'm glad that he didn't feel trapped, that he felt like, hey, I can make whatever decision I want. And if I want to come back, well, then screw it. I'm coming back, and I'm glad that he's going to be back for at least one more. Now we'll get a chance to do this again next year. Maybe it's two more.
I mean, legitimately, how long did Brett Favre do all this? I mean, he retired or talked about retirement, four or five seasons? What Brady could do is, if you remember in baseball, for like 3-4 years, Roger Clemens just said, I'm skipping spring training and I'll just come back sometime in June, pitch a few games in the minors in Texas somewhere because I'm from there, and then start pitching in July. Like, could you see Tom Brady November 1st of 2028 leading the playoff-bound Lions or something?
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. But no, I think for Tom, like the best part of it is the games, right? So he's not going to miss week one, but he's at a point right now, and we saw him last year play in preseason games. He wants to play the game. That's why he still plays it. He loves the game of football, but he could, you know, hey, sit out all of training camp and still come in week one and play for as long as he wants.
And I think he's probably looking at the, I think there's a real imbalance AFC to NFC. That NFC's wide open again, and I think he sees that. All right, let's pivot back to, by the way, John has dropped some weight. You don't look like an offensive lineman. You look more like a slot receiver now, so I think you'd have to really change your skill set. I don't know. I don't know if I trust the hands.
I came in, trust the hands. That's offensive. All right, I came in as a tight end at the University of Michigan. Rob Gronkowski, he may be moving on. I'm moving back in. That's the reason he's moving on. I'm coming back as a tight end. I still got the ability to block. I still got the great hands. And now that I'm at a tight end weight, hey, let's roll, baby.
I don't think you're at a tight end weight, man. You got to bulk up.
Hey, again, that's the fun part.
No, that's very true. All right, I like your chances there. Number seven, let's go back to the Michigan conversation and to today's guest, Jesse Minter, the new defensive coordinator. Just your early impressions, and I think fans would love to hear from you, kind of a compare contrast with him and who he's replacing in this spot, Mike McDonald, because in terms of resume, in terms of journey to get to Ann Arbor, there's plenty of overlap, which, hey, when you did what Mike McDonald did last season with his defense, I think that's what people would want to hear, that there's a lot of it.
Well, there is a lot of overlap, and I asked the question, and I'll let him answer it in just a few minutes, because you go from Don Brown's defense to Mike McDonald, right? Not a lot of expectations. People didn't know what to expect. Mike McDonald was calling defenses for the first time. You just had no idea. He was so young. All of a sudden, 1 year later, he goes back to the Baltimore Ravens, and everybody's going, wow, that was an unbelievable season. And now, a guy that you know came from the same tree, the John Harbaugh tree, and they coached together at the Baltimore Ravens, is taking over in Jesse Minter. And is there pressure to keep things going the way that Mike had things set in place? And his answer is outstanding. I'll let him get to that in a minute. But my initial impression is I like the hire, and I like Jesse Minter because of his mindset. Because of the way that he approaches the game. It's very much like Mike McDonald, and the fact that these players are going to be in year two of the defense. Defensive coordinator has changed, but the defensive concept, the terminology, the verbiage is all going to be the same. Now, every year, there's some additions and subtractions. Some of that is, you know, by the players. In college, you go on, you play in the NFL, you graduate. Other players step in, and there's also going to be some scheme changes. What did we do against Ohio State that worked? What did we do that didn't work? All right, you make some changes. And so there's going to be some changes here and there, but all within the scheme of the defense. And one of the things that I love about it is that it's still a very adaptive defense. You know, and he talks about it as well. You've got to play teams like Iowa and Wisconsin that are old school Big Ten teams. You have to be able to play against the spread like Ohio State. You have a wide array of offenses that you have to defend, and your defense has to adapt to it. And Jesse Minter is along those exact same lines. But I tell you what, instead of picking and choosing what you get a chance to hear, I want you to hear everything that Jesse Minter had to say. Great conversation I had with him, and here it is.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, it's the first chance I've had to sit down with our new defensive coordinator, Jesse Minter. Jesse, welcome to Ann Arbor. You got thrown right into the fire. Thanks for joining us. How's it been so far? I mean, you hit the ground running.
Yeah, it's been great. Smooth transition. Things happen fast in this profession where, opportunities pop up and you do what's best for you and your family and what's best for your career. And couldn't be more excited to be here with Coach Harbaugh and at a place with certainly a great tradition and a great, you know, track record on defense this past year, and look forward to continue to build on that.
So the track record on defense, obviously, it was with Mike McDonald, who I know you've worked closely with. How much in the transition from him going back to Baltimore, you coming over here from Vanderbilt, did you get a chance to talk to him about, hey, what are these guys familiar with? What was the system that you had? But I'm sure it's the same system, but in terms of terminology and verbiage, how similar is it?
You know, I had a lot of opportunities to speak with Mike. Mike's a good friend, a confidant, you know. And so as we both left Baltimore at the same time last year, we've had a lot of conversations over the last year, not knowing, you know, through a lot of them that this might happen, but just talking college football. And I had a little bit more of a college background, more recent than Mike. And so we had a lot of conversations just about the way that we may tweak the system to defend the college game. And then certainly as the Baltimore thing became relevant for Mike, we've had some conversations. And so I had a really good understanding of what the guys knew, what they were taught over the last year, sort of the backbone of the defense that Mike was able to put in. So it's been a huge help to me just to know, you know, what terminology he used, how he called things, how he was teaching the guys. And so for me now, it's like, you know, I want the players to feel like it's year two of the same system. Mm-hmm. And I think anytime you go from year one to year two, you may tweak some things. You may try to make things better from a terminology standpoint, or say, hey, you know, maybe we should call it this or that. And so I think the guys have a great grasp of the general scheme. And now I think with a couple new coaches, Mike Elston being new, myself being new, you know, certainly able to tweak it, but I do think the players have a great understanding and feel like it's year two for them in the same system.
You mentioned in your conversation with Mike that the tweak the system to better fit the college game. You were obviously in college last year with over at Vanderbilt. What's the biggest difference in your mind between how you operate a defense at the pro level and how you operate it at the college level?
You know, I think there's just in college, there's such a wide variety of scheme that you can see week to week. The NFL is a matchup driven league. It's not that there's not different systems. There's certainly a handful of systems in the NFL now. Like there's a McVay system that half the, you know, a quarter of the teams run. There's, you know, the Shanahan, like all that stuff. You know, a lot of them fall from the same tree or eat off the same plate, like as we used to say. In college, you know, you can play Iowa one week, you can play Ohio State, spread you out, you can open up with Colorado State, who's going to be an air raid attack. And so I just think you have to have a diversity in your system to handle different types of schemes. And then I think tempo is a big factor. In college, there's teams are doing a really good job of mixing up tempo, trying to, you know, steal signals and all that. Like the operation is a lot different, where in the NFL, you know, you relay the call in through the helmet. So there's a lot of that type of stuff that you just have to be well prepared for, well schooled for. It was good to get back in the college game for a year, you know, at Vanderbilt and get a sense of where all that stuff was. And now come here, I think I'd be better having served that year there.
I mentioned you hit the ground running. You were only here a couple of weeks before spring ball started. What were those couple of weeks like, just getting adjusted to Ann Arbor, but also learning about the personnel before you had to start installing?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to dive in and start to build relationships first. I think we have a tremendous staff. You know, the coaches on defense. I had a little bit of a background with Mike Elston from years ago. And so to get back with him, I think, has been a great deal. I think Coach Klink in the back end does a tremendous job. And so been able to have a lot of conversations with him. And then for him as well, like, he's been here less than a year. And he wasn't here for spring last year. So this was our chance from a coverage standpoint to almost start over as well, with all of us getting on the same page. And Coach Jay is one of the best football coaches I've been around. You know, the special teams that he's put together speaks for itself. And now he provides great insight, great value to the defensive staff with his offensive background. And then George Hilo with our linebackers does an excellent job. And so I wanted to build relationships with those guys, have them get a feel for me. I'm not Mike, you know what I mean? And so we had to get to know each other and them get to know my leadership style and things like that. Also get to know the players as well as I could before I walk in there and say, hey, this is what we're doing. You know, you want to get to know them a little bit. So that was key. We were able to dive into a lot of the film from the past year, tweak some things, and then say, all right, here we go. Let's hit the ground running. And like I think the big advantage is the continuity in the overall system allowed us with the players to say, okay, this is year two. We can move, you know, probably at a higher or faster rate of install than you know, last spring when everything was new, while at the same time trying to teach it in a way that our early enrollees can keep up, that everybody that hasn't played before can get a lot of reps and know what they're doing. So it's been a smooth process, and credit to the coaches that are in place here and the players for being open-minded and willing to dive in and keep this thing going.
So going from the previous staff, there was a lot of unknown when Mike came in, in regards to he hadn't called defenses before, didn't know what type of the style would be, how would it adapt to the college game. So there wasn't a whole lot of pressure on him. Do you feel pressure being that it is the second year of the same system, even though you're not Mike? And you know, the fact that the standard last year was set, but you also had players like Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo, Josh Ross, you had some veteran players. Is there pressure to try and repeat or be what Michigan's defense was last year?
You know, I think pressure is a funny word. I don't think anybody in coaching, I think like self expectations, your own expectations are always probably even higher than other people's. And so I certainly have a high expectation for how we can play defense here. I like the challenge of having to replace, I mean, there's probably potentially three first round picks off that defense. There's a senior leader at Mike linebacker off that defense. There's a starting corner off that defense. There's a starting three technique off that defense. And so I think with us, it's like, can we create the mindset that, you know, we got to earn it, and it's not just going to happen because it happened last year. There's a lot of production gone. There's a lot of good young players to have opportunities. And I think that's college football. Like, you graduate guys every year. It's the next guy's turn. I'm excited about what we have. I have extremely high expectations for the group. And it's certainly up to us to try to fulfill the standard of Michigan defense.
Who are some of the guys, or you know, how have those voids been filled? And I know there's a lot of time between now and fall camp, but when you lose, you know, a leader in the secondary, or you lose a player like Dax Hill, where in the secondary have some guys stepped up?
You know, I think RJ has done a tremendous job. He got his feet wet last year. He's becoming a leader. He's becoming a real cerebral thinker. To me, it's safety. It's a position I've always had my hands on throughout my career. Is like, can you be a problem solver? And so can you anticipate things? Can you figure out things that are going to happen before they happen? I think RJ's becoming that type of player. You know, I think we got some guys at corner that can really play. And DJ and Jamon, and those guys have played a lot of snaps here. And then there's some young guys that are battling, and you know, they'll earn their stripes as we go throughout the rest of spring. But I think there's some real potential in some of the younger players. And then I think when you go down to the next level, you know, Junior is a guy we got to build this defense around. He's a potential high-level player. When you talk about college and potentially, you know, down the line at the next level. But I also think we have some real depth at inside backer, where those guys, Nakai and Kalel and Mike Barrett, all have capabilities of having roles within this defense. And so there's some, you know, every year I think when you lose guys, it's like, who are your playmakers now? And it's our job as coaches to say, hey, look, we might not have, like, I think we have a lot of potential at rush, you know, guys rushing edge players. But at the start of the season, like, Junior might be a playmaker for us. We got to find ways for him to make the same impact type of plays that Hutch and Jabo and those guys made last year. So It's on us to figure out who those guys are. I think up front, man, there's, you know, if I was going to start a defense, especially this system, like Mozzie Smith is a dude I want to build the defense around, from his ability to take up space, but also his ability to make plays. And, you know, there was times where last year it was like, hey, inside guys are going to do this so that these guys on the outside can eat. And I think Mozzie is going to be a playmaker for us, and we're going to try to do some things with him. I think Mike Morris is a guy, man, that is chomping at the bit to be an every down player. I think Coach Mack, man, used him well last year. He did a lot of different things for him. I think he was an extremely important piece in how he was able to manipulate fronts and let those guys on the edges go. I think Upshaw is a guy, man, that's tough and rugged. He plays like a Michigan defensive player is supposed to play. You know, and then like a guy I've been pleasantly surprised with is Braden McGregor. I think he has potential to be a high-end edge player as we continue to grow. So, you know, there's pieces there. You know, there's guys that have played and played a good amount of snaps, like Mozzie and Mike and Junior. There's guys that maybe haven't played as much, but have sat behind high-level players for a couple years. And you hope that those guys make the same jump that, you know, Jabo made when he hadn't played before. And I think that's natural in college football that guys progress.
One of the things I never had a chance to experience was early enrollees. It's commonplace now in college football. How do you – how year two of this defense, mm-hmm. you've obviously got guys that are a different level in terms of how they understand the defense. How do you speed it up for those guys but also slow it down for some of the early enrollees?
I think early on – you know, you put a good amount in so that the older guys feel challenged and feel like, okay, we're progressing. But I think we're six practices in, we've hit a point now where it'll slow down. And now it's the ability to catch the young guys up, mm-hmm. you know, and what I tell the young players every day is I'm not evaluating, you know, whether you make a mistake or a mental error. Like I'm evaluating just your ability to go out there and play and be physical and play fast and take the pressure off of them from the mental standpoint. Now they want to be perfect. They want to get it right and all that. But I just want to see them flying around, learning how to play Michigan style defense, like the toughness and the physicality and the level of communication that it's required to play at this level. That's what you want those guys to learn. Now, I think when you look at the calendar in college football, you go spring ball, you get some more time with them after spring to continue to meet and stuff. They go through June and July with the players where they can continue to learn. Then they hear the defense again in August. And so I'm confident that any early enrollee, by the time, you know, if they're ready to play by September, they'll have a great grasp of what we're trying to do.
A guy like Mike Sanristil, who has moved over to defense or at least taken some reps on defense. Is there an advantage to coaching a guy that has, you know, spent 2 years on the offensive side of the ball, understands what receivers are trying to do, and now coaching him up on defense?
Yeah, I think, man, Mikey's been one of my favorite guys to see throughout the first part of spring, just on both sides of the ball. He plays with a level of toughness, of maturity, really good football player. I think he's a guy you could put anywhere. And I think that shows up on special teams and how he plays, shows up on offense and his ability to block and be a role player, but also make plays when he gets the ball in his hands. And his ability on defense, he has a great grasp of what they're trying to do, zone coverages, of like where the spaces are. I think on offense, it's like, where can you find open space? On defense, it's how can you close space? And Mikey has a great understanding. He's also really sticky in man coverage, which is huge for that role. I'm super excited about where he's at as a player and excited to see where it continues to go throughout the rest of spring.
What have you seen from the talent in a player like Will Johnson? A lot of hype coming in, a lot of expectations, and it's coupled with the fact that he's wearing number two right now. So he's accepted the fact that, hey, there's a lot of expectations. What have you seen from him so far?
You know, when you go somewhere and it's like, hey, there's this five-star recruit that's early enrollee, maybe the top corner in the country, you know, I wasn't really sure what it would look like, but it's looked really, really good. It's met my expectations just from his, you know, I think most important for a guy like that is like, what type of mindset does he walk in with? And he's very humble. He asks a lot of questions. He wants to be right. He wants to be really competitive. And I think he has the tools. He certainly has the tools that, you know, allowed him to be that highly recruited guy, that highly ranked guy. And, you know, I think he's got a really bright future.
You mentioned six practices in. And I know you're still learning the personnel. You're still, you know, working on this defense. What have you seen through the first six practices from this defense as a whole?
You know, I've seen a group, man, that like one of the first things we talked about is just the chip on our shoulder that's going to be required to challenge and challenge the level of success and make it better, you know, because I think that's our goal is how do we become a better defense? Like, yeah, you can say we lost this, lost that, but our challenge is to become a better defense. And so the attitude and the chip on their shoulder, the competitiveness when we go against what I, you know, foresee being a really talented offense in college football, that aspect has been great. They learn really well. We got guys that love football. I don't think you can make it here with Coach Harbaugh in Michigan if you don't love football. Yeah. And so that's been like, man, really, really cool, really fun to be a part of. But overall, just, you know, the level of commitment, the level of wanting to learn, wanting to be better, wanting to maybe say, okay, let's try it this way, you know, it's been really pleasing so far.
And with, well, you're six in, so you got nine left. One of them is going to be the spring game. What are some of the goals that you have for this defense throughout the rest of spring practice?
You know, I want guys to earn roles. You know, I think like right now we have a pretty good idea maybe like who that first line of guys is, guys that have played some snaps, guys that we feel like we're going to be able to count on when September hits. And so it's finding, you know, raising the number of capable players to play winning football. And that's here you get, you know, everybody gets reps. Guys, you know, get a lot of reps in practice. They get a lot of opportunity to prove their value and their worth. And so it's growing that list of guys that we can count on. It's also just continuing to grow an understanding of the defense, because I think anytime you go from year one to year two, the level of understanding can be way higher in what we're trying to do, how we're trying to attack people. And so, man, just continued growth for the returning guys, and then huge growth for the guys that maybe haven't done it in games yet.
Well, we'll get a chance to catch up with you after spring ball, but I appreciate your time and best of luck. I know the family is in transition, moving from Baltimore to Vanderbilt to Ann Arbor. Yeah. So how are they handling everything?
You know, my wife is a rock star. We have three children. They actually made it up for the first time this week. So they're super excited to be here in the transition now of selling a house, buying a house, all those things that go with this profession. But man, it's a wonderful opportunity for us as a family, and you know, really look forward to diving into the Ann Arbor community. And
were they here on Sunday? Because Sunday was Michigan in a snapshot. You had snow, you had melting, and you had sunshine all in one day.
They got here late Sunday night. They think this is beautiful. It's 55 today. So
right.
my son thought there was going to be 4 feet of snow on the ground when he got here. It's exciting, and with young kids, it's great for them to get a chance to be around Coach Harbaugh again after being around his brother some. And so, man, we just look forward to diving in here and doing what we can do to make this place special.
Well, welcome to Ann Arbor, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, as always, I want to thank Jesse for his time. Welcome he and his family, his three young kids, to the Ann Arbor area. I know that they're going to love it. They're going to find a great home here, and we hope he's here for a long time and has great success. And I think that they will. I'm excited about what this defense is, the opportunities it is providing some of these guys, and we'll continue to bring you some of those players. We'll continue to bring you some of the coaches, and we'll have the spring game coming up on April the 2nd. So stay tuned in here for all your Michigan football information on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.